When no more crew emerged from the hangar, Jaina extended her Force awareness just far enough to confirm that there were no survivors, then quickly shut it down again. Trying not to think about the death she had just wrought, Jaina slipped into the hangar and went straight to the airlock. Of course, there was a security pad in the center of the hatch. She removed an automatic lock slicer from her belt and affixed it to the pad. A red flash announced that it had made contact with the security system. Leaving it there to do its work, Jaina returned to the fusion core and reversed the sensor feeds on the cooling valves, then disabled all 8 safety shutoffs. The core temperature began to climb slowly. She slid the output switch to 3/4, which would allow her about 5 minutes to clear the area before the reactor blew and destroyed all evidence of her attack on the gun emplacement. By the time Jaina returned to the hatch, the automated slicer was flashing double green to indicate that it had defeated the security system and erased all traces of the breach. She returned the slicer to her equipment belt, then opened the hatch, stepped into the airlock, and felt her spine tingling beneath someone's gaze. Jaina leapt to one side of the airlock and slapped the secure pad, then spun around. Through the closing hatch, she glimpsed a line of figures entering the hangar, armored in colorful Mandalorian Beskar gam. They were moving quickly but cautiously, covering one another as they crossed the threshold. The smart thing would have been to let the hatch close and jam the controls, leaving the entire squad to die when the fusion core overheated. That was what Fett would have done, and probably most of the Mandalorians in the squad as well. But Jaina could not let herself become quite that ruthless. Besides, the leader was a female in familiar yellow-orange armor with gold sigils, and the last thing she wanted was to have Boba Fett after her for letting his granddaughter die. Jaina reopened the hatch and waved an admonishing finger at the 2 commandos who swung their blasters toward her, then used hand signals to explain that the fusion core was rigged to blow. The Mandalorians crowded into the airlock. As they waited for the chamber to pressurize, an anger verging on harmful intent began to boil into the Force. Jaina pretended not to notice and simply stared at the commando across from her, a broad-shouldered titan in a red helmet and black armor. Jaina was pretty sure he was Vatok Tor, a talented fighter as quick as he was strong, with a ready smile and a quiet manner that seemed at odds with his raw-boned cheeks and fist-flattened nose. She had trained against him several times. The green glow of the equal pressure light finally filled the airlock chamber. Jaina slapped the control pad and stepped through the internal hatch. Beyond the hatchway was a small marshalling vestibule where groups could assemble before and after they had passed through the airlock. Jaina force-flashed the vidcam monitoring the area, then, knowing that the entire area would be obliterated when the fusion core detonated, simply blasted the security cam apart. Jaina turned back to find Myrta and a Mandalorian male she did not know, at least judging by his blue helmet and Beskar gam, standing shoulder to shoulder behind her. Their G-10 power blasters were not pointed at her, but they weren't really pointed anywhere else either. Batok stood behind them, towering over the pair almost like a Wookiee.
"I'm surprised you warned us," Myrta said. "That's not too bright after what your uncle pulled up there."
"You don't like the door charge? Don't crash the party," Jaina said. "We didn't invite you."
"But you knew we were coming," the third Mandalorian said. "And you set us up."
"And Fett knew we were coming," Jaina said. "Galaxy's a cold place, Blue. Get used to it."
A snicker sounded inside Vatok's helmet, and Jaina instantly felt an aura of general hostility radiate outward from Blue.
"What are you doing here anyway?" she asked. "I know Fett didn't send you to help me."
"How bad do you want to die, Jedi?"
Blue asked.
"Keep asking questions. It's okay, Roger."
Myrta disconnected her helmet from its vac suit connectors, then took it off and ran a gloved hand through her curly brown hair.
"Jedi Solo is going to be helping us with the moths."
Jaina cocked her brow.
"Sorry to disappoint you, but I have other plans this trip."
"Plans can be adjusted."
This from Vatok.
"We're down 2/3 of our strike team. A Mando-trained Jedi might take a little sting out of that."
Jaina's heart sank.
"Guess?" she asked.
Myrta's eyes turned glassy, and she quickly slipped her helmet back on.
"He'll make it, if there's enough left of our Trakaad to get past the Imperials."
"There will be,"
Jaina assured her. It had been less than a month since she had been on Mandalore drinking at the wedding of Myrta Gev and Ghess Orade, and she had never seen 2 people so much in love. aside from her parents, of course.
You can't stop a Trakaad.
Really?
Roger retorted.
Tell that to my brother.
I'm sorry for your loss, Roger.
Jaina turned back to Myrta. But let's just settle for staying out of each other's way. I'm not going to help you take out the Moffs.
Actually,
Myrta said,
you are.
She reached for her equipment pouch and found her hand suddenly frozen in midair by the Force.